Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, I'm here with Alan Johnson from Palliser Estates in Martinborough. How are you, Alan?
Oh, good morning.
Excellent.
Well, afternoon, it's great.
Afternoon, actually, yeah. We're here. I've just come in from over the hills, Rimutaka's, and got stuck behind some nice lorries. They were mowing the lawn, so that was quite fun. 20 minutes waiting for them to pull over. But you're right next to Wellington, aren't you, here?
Yeah, we're just 1 hour's drive from Wellington, Chris, over the Rimutaka's. It's a bit of a mountain to climb. Yeah,
it's quite a windy one. I remember coming over on my motorbikes years ago, and it was great fun.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. It's 555 metres elevation at the saddle, so it's a decent little climb over.
Okay, but it's quite an important part for Masterton and Martinborough.
For the Great Grang region, the range here, the Rimutaka's, provide us with a rain shadow effect. Our predominant weather is from the west. Mm-hmm. The weather systems predominantly come across the Tasman, and the rain falls on the west coast, and we are one of the driest. Well, certainly the driest viticultural region in the North Island, about 700 millimetres of rainfall a year, mostly winter predominant.
Oh, that's quite handy, isn't it? It also cuts the wind out, because when we landed, I came in from Sydney and the pilot just sort of went straight into the ground at a hurrah of nut. And it wasn't even that. It was windy last night, but it wasn't over the top.
Yeah, it depends. We can have strong northwesterlies, strong dry northwesterlies here. So that's really equinoxial gales. You'll get that mostly in the spring, but sometimes in the autumn as well. But it's something we contend with from time to time.
Yeah, but you don't call it windy Wairarapa, do you?
Wellington. No, not like Wellington. I think it gets wind from, the west and the south, really, Wellington. And being on the Cook Strait, the wind is funnel through there.
Yeah, it's great fun for flying kites. So we're here at Palliser. Palliser's one of the more earlier established vineyards in the region. When did Palliser start up?
Well, the grapes were planted in 1985. The very earliest vines were planted about 78, 79 in Martinborough. So we started slightly later than that. First wines made, Palliser wines, were 89. And I've actually been here at Palliser since 91, so a fair length of time now.
And what sort of grapes do you grow here?
We have five varieties. Pinot Noir, which is our largest planting. Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, Riesling and Pinot Gris. And so Sauvignon Blanc and Pinot Noir are our two largest productions. We also make some bubbles made from Pinot Noir and Chardonnay.
Is it traditional method or...?
In the Champenoise method.
Okay, I didn't see any kit for that.
We do make the base wine here, Tourage here. We don't disgorge on site. That's sent away to a disgorger, because obviously that's quite a lot of kit, quite expensive. So they'll do the disgorging and liqueuring and ship the wine back to us.
Cool. I actually didn't try. I tried quite a few of your wines earlier, but I didn't try your fizz, so maybe I'll have a wee snifter of that on the way out.
Absolutely, yeah.
Excellent. And who owns Palliser? Because you're part of the family of 12.
That's correct, yeah.
But you're not a family business.
Well, we're a collection of families, one would say. we in fact have close to 200 shareholders. And there's probably five or six persons who would own, 50, 60% of the company, with the balance owned by the smaller shareholders. We're not family owned, but there's, as I say, the best I can say is lots of families, I suppose, really, particularly the more dominant shareholders, yeah.
You're not really listed it, though, are you?
No, but the shares are traded. Through one another, Wellington share brokers or through our secretary. So, the shares tick over from time to time.
What are they trading at?
I think the last trades were at $4.25.
$4.25. And what sort of return do you get on that?
It's variable. The wine market is quite a lot tougher in New Zealand in the last 2 years. We have made a profit from the very early days. If I quote something about profit margin, I'd get it wrong. So leave it there.
Okay, no, that's fair enough. It is a bit of an oversupply situation, particularly for Marlborough wines. How's Martinborough feeling?
All that occurred really with a big harvest in 08, particularly out of Marlborough. Yeah. Two things, quite a big increase in land coming into production. And secondly, you know, just a bigger harvest, you know, more tonnes per hectare. So from memory, it was about 40% up on the previous year. Yep. And while our market for New Zealand wines has been growing,
it's a big step.
Sort of maybe 15% an annum or something like that. You know, it was a bit bridge too far, really. And then the 09 harvest, pretty much the same size as the 08. So,
but that was, there was a lot of dropping of fruit in the year.
There was, yes.
But it was just more land coming online.
That's correct, yeah. Bigger production area. So really, it's we've had now 2 years, really, where the supply has exceeded demand. And, you know, wineries have to, you know, sell their wine. A lot of these New Zealand wineries are quite young. They've got quite a lot of borrowings and, yeah, you know, they've got to service their debts as well as the just ongoing costs. So there's been quite a bit of pressure for wineries to, you know, keep the cash flow going. And enough of them are offering good prices out there in the market. You know, it does take market share away from the other wineries, and other wineries having to respond to the general market.
Is there any consolidation going on? Like, there must be the odd person who's going a bit broke, going bankrupt.
There have been a number, but few people have made comments to me that they think that really going to see more consolidation in the next year or two, really. I think, you know, people have been hanging in there, you know, sort of hanging in with their fingertips and fingernails to some degree. But I think, you know, things are probably still another perhaps year away, 18 months before I think we see supply-demand come back into the balance a bit, really.
Is that because you're just still dropping tonnage or dropping sort of crop levels? Or is it going to be a case that some land that's been converted to vineyard is going to go back to...
Well, there's going to be a bit of both, I think, but the export of New Zealand wine is still growing, yeah. So the market's still growing, and it's just going to be a matter of time, I think, before that we get back into balance, basically. The market reaches the point of production, basically. And New Zealand being, you know, really temperate climate, our yields vary year to year quite markedly quite often, and we could have a year where production's quite low, you know, and that's very suddenly there'll be a shortage of grapes in the market. So
famine and feast, isn't
it? Yeah, you really can't pick it. But, yeah.
You said that sales are growing at about 15% year on year for New Zealand. Is China becoming a key market for you guys? I know in Australia they're really pinning their hopes on that to try and get them back into balance.
Well, for Palliser, we've got a good market in Hong Kong, a company called Watson's. And they run a very professional business, and our sales have been growing year on year quite well. They've a, you know, good retail business there. Going back a few years, most of the market would have been expats, but now the ethnic Chinese dominate, you know, the sales. So yeah, we see Hong Kong and China mainland as being quite important markets, really. But it's a matter of picking who you're with, really, to go through into the Chinese mainland.
Sure. And what sort of wines are popular from your point of view?
Really, Sauvignon Blanc would be our most popular varietal. Uh-huh. Pinot Noir as well. That seems to be the case mostly around the world for Palliser, our two leading varieties.
Yep.
People seem to, for good and bad, know New Zealand for Pinot Noir and Sauvignon Blanc. And in many ways, it's a case of trying to get them onto, you know, some of the other varieties, which we do equally as well, you know, yep. Riesling, Chardonnays.
And I really like your Riesling, and it ages quite nicely.
It does.
I've had quite a few of them that are sort of 5-6 years old, and they drink quite nicely. I've got a few bottles in my collection at home.
Yeah, it's probably our best aging wine, in fact, actually. And after 2 or 3 years in the bottle, they start getting that secondary aromas, but they still have the freshness there as well. I think it's a lovely time to drink them at, you know, maybe three years old. But, you know, they'll drink well for 10 years, or most of them.
Okay, you're saying you don't have too many new varieties, like you've added Pinot Gris recently or about 6 years ago.
Well, no, it's probably 12 years ago now, actually.
Oh, really?
But, as a winemaker, I'd be interested in growing some other varieties. But Palliser realises that it's a very competitive world out there, and, you know, if we can get 2, 3, or 4 of our wines on a shelf in a wine shop, you're doing well. If you turn up with a portfolio of 16 wines, you're probably only still going to get 2 or 3 or 4 wines on the shelf. So, yeah, there's the one variety which I think has good potential for New Zealand would be Grüner Veltliner.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You know, some of the Austrian examples are really impressive. It's a variety which does a range of different qualities, really. But, you know, the best ones have got, you know, sort of a fruitfulness and an aromatic quality, which makes me think New Zealand could do those very well.
We're just about to come into the 2010 picking season. You said you're going to start picking in, what, in a couple, 2 or 3 weeks' time?
Well, about 3 weeks' time. Probably after Easter this year, I'd say. Probably about 10th of April, and normally we'd start around 1st of April. So yeah, we're running late. The whole of New Zealand's running pretty late this year. We had a very cold October, sort of, I think it was the coldest in 60 years, and that just delayed, you know, the flowering.
Yeah.
And, you know, you generally have a standard 100 to 115 days between flowering and harvest, and yeah, so it just puts a whole season.
Is that a problem for you guys? You don't have frost issues or...?
Not generally autumn frost, but, you know, there was still potential there. But, no, I think, you know, we're on our way. Our yields are a little bit below long-term average, so, you know, in a later year, you don't want to be carrying a big crop. Because, you know, when it's getting cooler at the end of the season, you don't get quite as much photosynthesis happening, really. So, yeah, I think we'll be fine. It's a little patient this year.
Yeah, and the crop level this year, same as last year? Or?
Oh, for us, we're down probably 20% on what we'd say is a long-term average harvest.
Yeah, that's not necessarily a bad thing, though.
Yeah, we had some cool periods during the flowering season, and we had a set which has resulted in a lot of what we call hen and chickens, small and large berries, or the French say Miller and Dash.
Yeah.
And that just means lower bunch weights.
Will you take out those little, are they green ones?
Sometimes in red varieties you get hard green ones. More commonly you get small berries that ripen before the large ones do.
Oh, okay.
And often with Pinot Noir, those will ripen first, and often they can split and shrivel away.
Does that have problems with disease pressure?
Can do, but it's more a case of dropping the yields down.
So given that it was a problem at the beginning of the season, does that mean that likely you're going to get more concentrated fruit this year, so the quality of the fruit will be better?
Really too early to call, really. But I think, you know, things look like they'll have a pretty normal sort of balance in the wines, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Acidity's maybe a little bit higher than normal. We're really just going to have to see how things come out. You know, it's often the midsummer is a bit cooler, but we're getting some nice weather in this later summer, early autumn. So
Pelez has been here now for quite a while, you said, in Martinborough, but there's some other wine regions around in the Wairarapa. It's called the Wairarapa, isn't it?
The Wairarapa, yes. Yeah. So we're Wellington region, but it's, Wairarapa is sort of a sub-region of the Wellington region.
Is it other grapes grown in the Wellington region apart from in Wairarapa?
There's a small amount of planting over on the Kapiti Coast.
Oh, okay, and that's sort of the west coast.
The west coast, yeah. There's, I would say there might be 20 hectares in total over there.
All right, so what are the other wine regions in the Wairarapa?
Well, Martinborough really was, in modern times, was the first region to plant. There were vineyards up near Masterton around the turn of the century.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an old history here of that, but...
they were planted Syrah as well.
Syrah and Pinot, as we understand, and I think there were some Bordeaux varieties as well. There's two vineyards up there that are written about. They were pulled out. Masterton became a dry area. There was a vote for controlling liquor laws, liquor sales in New Zealand, either prohibition, reduction, or status quo, and Masterton became a dry area. And as I understand it, sort of a test case went before the judiciary, and he said you have to pull your vines out, which was he ruled an error, evidently, because there was cases up in Auckland of Corbin's winery. It was in a dry area, right, them on the boundary of the dry area, and across the railway line they used to have their wine shop. So made wine in the dry area and sold it next door in the wet area. But so a long history there. So after Martinborough, there was vines planted up around Gladstone, so, which is really up the Rimahunga River from we are adjacent to the Rimahunga River.
Mm-hmm.
And as you follow the Rimahunga River up, come up to Gladstone, and one of the first ones up there was Gladstone Vineyard. Gladstone Vineyard's been there for since the early 90s, I think, from memory.
Mm-hmm.
And then in more recent times, just slightly north of them on river terraces, similar to the sort of land we have here in Martinborough, a number of other vineyards have been planted. That area there is often known as Dakin's Road, after the road they're planted on.
The key thing about Martinborough is, or the Wairarapa anyway, is that it all seems to be on old riverbeds.
Yeah, predominantly the plantings are. It's a big, wide, expansive valley that's open to the south. In the Martinborough Terrace, which we're on, is an old upraised river terrace. River gravel's overlain by windblown loess. The same with Gladstone, about 25k northeast of us on the Rimahunga River. And then there's a number of vineyards a little bit to the north of Marston as well, which also on old alluvial sort of river.
What's lost, by the way? Just
It's windblown, very fine windblown material. Yeah, very, used to be dust at one time, you know. When you get enough dust, it lands on the ground and forms loss.
What's the characteristics of it?
In our case, it's it forms a sort of a loamy clay type textured soil.
Mm-hmm.
It's moderately fertile. I guess it depends where that wind-blown materials come from, I guess. But it gives you water holding capacity on the near the surface. In our case, a lot of our soils are 400 to 600 millimeters of this sort of topsoil, subsoil, this loamy clay over gravels. And that just gives you a nice water holding capacity.
Yep.
You know, the soils generally dry out in the summertime. And depending on the year, some years we don't irrigate, some years we do irrigate. Because if we don't, the vines will defoliate before harvest.
Okay. Do you have any issues with water supply?
We're fairly lucky here. Our water comes from underground aquifers, but some of those are pretty much fully allocated now. So, you know, there is limits on the water availability. But
I think we'll wrap it up there, Alan. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you.